Flying Death in Manslaughter.
Good evening, Vancouver. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My thanks to Ben and Kristen from live from Thunderbird Radio Hell. Excellent show as always. The time is 6 minutes past 11. It's a bit later than usual, but we've been having some technical difficulties as usual. Got a very special show tonight and a very special guest. It is the legendary house music and techno music producer, DJ, club promoter, and club owner, Mr. C. He'll be calling in from Los Angeles, California, in about 10 minutes' time. This is the last show from Vancouver. I'll be moving to Tokyo next week, and should be a very exciting time. We're going to do the show from there. Probably take a few weeks to get set up, but you'll hear some old shows in the meantime. You can always check the podcast for this show and all the old ones at citr.ca under Hypnotic Groove. This is CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Hypnotic Groove. Coming up next, Mr. C. So we're back. The time is 10 past 11, and on the phone we have Mr. C himself. Richard, are you there?
I am indeed.
Oh, excellent. First time, it's always a charm. Thank you so much for calling in. You're obviously, well, it's for people who don't know you, you're a techno and house legend. How does it feel being a legend?
I don't know. people say that to me. I kind of giggle. I can't really take any too much of it that seriously.
Of course.
More like a legend than a legend.
So you're calling us from Los Angeles, and you've just moved there, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I moved here at the beginning of November.
And how are you finding it?
Yeah, I love it. You know, the weather's great. I'm in a nice location, making lots of new friends. People have, like, really got time for you here as well. It's, like, the whole attitude's a lot more laid back than London, which is really fast. And people have just got a bit more time for each other. I really like it. I think I can, you know, grow to, you know, really love it.
Excellent. What prompted the move?
Well, a few things. Once we closed the N Club a year and a half ago...
Oh, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. So for people who don't know, the End nightclub in London is, and I'm sure you'll back me up on this, was the best club I've ever been to, and had such a good attitude. And you created it with Leo from Leo and Bushwhacker.
That's correct. We opened the club in December 95 and closed it at the end of January 2008. So, it was a 13-year run that we had, and we had a good time. I think it was probably one of the best clubs in the world. We tried to get it right in all ways, like the sound, from the sound system to the toilets to the sprung dance floor. Just, you know, we just did everything we could to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, the little touches were excellent. I mean, I remember standing out in the rain waiting for Laurent Garnier, and, you know, suddenly all these End umbrellas appear. And that's just something you don't see all the time, which was...
Yeah, no, well, you know, it's like the least we can do. If people are going to be standing out in the rain in line, let's give them umbrellas.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean? It's just trying to think of everything. Like, when we opened the club, it was impossible to get, like, you go to the bathroom to wash your hands, there'd be no water running because they don't want people to drink water from the taps.
Mm-hmm.
They want them to buy it. So we did another route and put in, like, a water fountain so people could help themselves to water and stuff like that. You know, it's just about giving back. And it didn't, you know, affect the taking of our bar in any way. So...
Yeah.
Some people just try to be greedy, you know. For us, the ethos was more about giving people a good environment, a space where they can go and listen to good quality music and feel safe and, you know, enjoy themselves.
Well, you accomplished that completely. So we were talking about the move to LA, and I interrupted you. So
once we closed the End, that freed me up. That was like my last tie, really. I've sadly lost both my parents, but my wife is actually from Mexico, and she has two parents that are a whole lot closer to California than London. So, you know, we decided this would be a great move. Also, I've been studying acting for 6 years,
right.
A serious form of method acting. It's called the spiritual psychology of acting, and it's a modern version of the teachings of Konstantin Stanislavski and Michael Chekhov. And I took that up on studying that on a weekly basis for 6 years up until October when I left London.
Wow.
And you know, I want to test myself on the big stage. It'd be really easy, I think, like, to sort of make it as an actor in the UK, especially due to the fame of the band The Shaman, and mm-hmm. being like a minor celebrity with pop star status. It's easier to break in, especially to TV. But that wasn't the route I wanted to go down. I didn't want to be seen as a TV actor, and wanted to be taken more seriously, which is why I studied for so long.
Wow.
And now I've come to LA, and I'm ready to tuck in, really. I've got a couple of movies already landed, but they're both UK movies. One shoots in August and another in September. The first one, I'm going to be a hitman, and the second one's going to be the devil.
All right.
The larger part, which I'm really, really excited about. I mean, they're both reasonable parts, but the second one's actually a huge supporting role, so I'm very excited.
Fantastic.
About that. And that'll be a good start, you know.
Good for you.
I didn't want to just, like, you know, like, I always said, like, I don't want to be like an aging DJ, and I kind of am. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm 44 now, but I'm a young 44. I still love getting involved. I love, like, you know, fashion and all the rest of it. So I do still kind of fit in with the 30s, late 20s, 30s bracket of people.
Of course you do.
I don't want to be 50 and still lugging heavy records around the universe. first. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no. So I thought, well, you know, what do I do when I stop DJing? I mean, I can obviously continue making music indefinitely, be it for records or for advertising or movie soundtracks, but I wanted to do something creative that was a new challenge. And, you know, going into management or promotions, which would be easy from, like, my standpoint as an international DJ that kind of knows everybody, mm-hmm. it'd be only too simple to go into management or be an agent or something like that, but it wouldn't satisfy the creative, artistic side of me, and I thought acting would. So I thought, let's go down that road. And, you know, you're always going to need old codgers in films, right? It's like, you know, there's always, like, when I'm old and frail and 75 and walking with a Zimmer frame, hell, there's someone going to need someone walking across the street in a Zimmer frame in a movie to get run down by a truck. I'll do that.
Well, best of luck to you. I hope it all works out, because you've got boundless energy. And that was something I was going to talk to you about. Obviously, you've been in the scene for so long now. I mean, I remember being 18 years old and hearing Progen for the first time by The Shaman, and being blown away by that. And I was thinking about it the other day. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I've been DJing at the top level for 23 years now, and I still love it every bit as I did when I started. You know, when I'm spinning vinyl and I'm up there mixing it up and the crowd all going nuts and celebrating life, there's a certain buzz to that just can't be replaced. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, you know, hard pulling my way from the decks when I get older, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, but a lot of fun. I'm not going to grumble. And I've still got the same passion, even, like, you know, the promoting. I've just started doing Super Freak down here in LA.
That was your regular night from the end, right?
That's right. It's been going for 8 years now. It was every month at the end. I also do it bi-monthly in Southampton, and also bi-monthly in Calais in France.
Wow, so you fly
all around the world.
You fly back for those all the time?
I fly back every month to London.
Okay.
To do Super Freak, yeah. Once a month. It's the first Saturday of each month.
Okay, nice.
So I wanted to start that here, which I've done now. I'm also doing a Tuesday monthly here, which is a disco called Super Disco Freak, which is a lot of fun. It's like the 70s stuff, like, you know, the Giorgio Moroders and all that sort of madness.
Nice.
And, I started the Super Freak after hours on Friday, just gone. That's going to be at Avalon on the last Friday of each month. I'm starting Super Freak in Chicago in next month. July 9th would be the first one, and that's going to be quarterly. And I'm also working out doing Super Freak in New York quarterly with the Black Market Collective.
Wow. So this was something I was going to ask you later on, but I'll ask it now. Where do you get all your energy from?
The love of life, really. You know, I'm inspired by what I see around me. I enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy every day. I enjoy working. I enjoy being in the studio. I enjoy when I'm sitting in traffic and listening to the stereo in the car. I enjoy it, you know, and it's about living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a great thinker, you know. I try to make decisions and then let it go, finish thinking on things quickly rather than dwell. And I think that makes you a happier person. I think the happier you are, the more energy you got.
Yeah. I think that's a great philosophy. So, for people that also don't know you, I mean, The Shaman was a huge band. I mean, can you talk about what that was like being so young and probably one of the first house music, techno music bands around, probably, right?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun doing The Shaman. I joined the band, well, I did Move Any Mountain, Progen, in 1989.
Yeah.
That was my first involvement with the band. And I was already 23 at that time. Then we did Progen 91. That was the big hit.
Yeah.
And then after that, the whole string of hits with the Boss Drum album, number one album. We won the Songwriters of the Year in the UK in 92. And the whole thing was a lot of fun, to be honest. I didn't take it seriously. I think a lot of people do. They get kind of wrapped up in being a pop star. And, you know, they forget about what is really going on around them, whereas I never did that. I was lucky enough to have the same mates that I went to school with, and they'd be the first people to say, "Oh, who do you think you are? Shut it."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was lucky enough to not get wrapped up in that whole pop thing, but it was a lot of fun, touring the world, playing, like, big crowds, music that you wrote and that you loved, and people really getting off on it. And I think, you know, know, the Shaman was very subversive lyrically. Everything that we did was about altered states of consciousness or socially political points of view. And I think it, as an information band, I don't remember another pop band before or since that's given information in the way that we did, song after song after song. And that was also really rewarding, you know, having like the press, the TV, the world's media to play with. Mm-hmm. You can really take a piss. So we did, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. You had a number one hit in Easy Good, and you continued for many years. So transitioning from that into the end, how did you meet Leo?
Well, I met Leo back in 1988. He was like a young 16-year-old kid in a woolly hat down at Clink Street getting off on Acid House when it was kicking through in the so-called Second Summer of Love. So I met Leo as a kid, and then he put on his own parties, Strawberry Sweatshop in Old Street, and then he did some more parties, like when he was studying in university in Norwich, and brought some of the people that he'd got to know, like myself, Femi B, and Richard Gray, and people like that, to go up and DJ, Eddie Richards. So he was always involved in some way in the scene. And then, it came along, his father's an architect, and he was developing this space into some sort of a shell to rent on. And Leo said, can't we do it ourselves? His father's like, don't be stupid, we don't have the know-how or the name and the balls to do it, and also money. And a mutual friend of mine and Leo said, have you spoken to Richard about this? And Leo came and spoke to me, and I thought it was a good idea, went and looked at the space. We had a lot of vision, saw the potential of what we could do to it, and took it from there. I put my money where my mouth was, and we went for it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was just such a unique experience, and right in the centre of London, but you would have no idea where it was unless you were looking for it.
You could, yeah. It was a slightly off the beaten track, and so it was definitely a destination rather than a walk-by.
But, having said that, you're literally, you're probably, a four-minute walk from Oxford Street or something?
Yeah, well, it's just off New Oxford Street, so yeah. It's like literally three blocks to Tottenham Court Road Station.
Ridiculous.
Hops and a jump, as they say.
Yeah, fantastic. And so you do tracks with a mutual friend of ours, Francis Harris.
Yes, the Adult Napper.
Yeah, the Adult Napper, and you guys call yourselves the Sycophant Slags.
That's correct.
And so you've had some tunes out recently. What are your plans for Sycophant Slags?
Well, the Sycophant Slags project, we do intend on doing an album at some point. Mm-hmm. Both of us need to start spending a bit more time with each other. I need to go to New York a bit more, and Francis needs to come here so that we can get some writing done.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon, in the next 12 months or so, there could be a Sycophant Slags album in the pipeline.
Nice. And you also record now for another label, is it Wagon Repair?
That's correct, yes. Solo Mr. C project. I've also started a new Mr. C solo album, which is long overdue, because the Change album was like 7 years ago or something like that.
Oh, really?
Eight years ago. So it's quite some time ago. So I think a follow-up album's due. I started working on some tracks, started writing last month. I've got five tracks started. I've got to start writing lyrics for those as well. I want it to be kind of vocal heavy, the album.
Oh, yeah?
But in a kind of cool sort of Blake Baxter-ish sort of type way. I want to do, nice techie vocals and like sexy stuff. Maybe a couple of jokey tracks that make people laugh.
Yeah.
Try and put a bit more something, put something else into it. Everyone seems to be making instrumental house, and I can do like dub mixes and instrumental mixes of album tracks with the singles, but I want the album to be something that's got a bit more content than just like a bunch of instrumental dance tracks.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm going to do it like a sort of probably about 70% vocal album.
Excellent. So I'm going to get a bit nerdish here. So explain your setup. What do you use to record your albums?
Well, at the moment, I'm writing with Logic, just doing everything in the computer. Once I've got stuff written and arranged, I take it into a French studio, and he's got like an SSL desk, like nice outboard compression, good effects.
Okay.
We'll bounce like the bottom end synths to analog synths like the SE1 and is a really good bass synth. The Sequential Circuits Pro 1 is a really good bass synth.
Oh, yeah.
Mini Moog is a great bass synth. But basically all the writing is just done in Logic. And then after I've done that and bounced the stems, then I will bring some of the files out and transfer it to analog.
Excellent. So we're going to play a bunch of your tunes a bit later on. Once I'm having some technical difficulties at the moment, but once we're off the phone, I'm going to play a bunch of your tunes. And obviously, one I'm going to play is an all-time favourite of mine. It's a Killer Loop track, "The Blue Hour."
Oh, right, yeah, beautiful tune.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, that seemed like that really kind of almost started the tech house movement. I mean, I don't know if you would go so far as to say that, but...
It kind of sum it up when it was getting, like, you know, we branded the words of tech house around and managed to bullshit the music world that there was a new genre of music coming from London when all it was really was house and techno.
Yeah, of course.
But that did define... tech house and say, well, it is a genre in its own right, and it isn't techno and it isn't house.
And
it can be something that's sort of a bit forward thinking and techy and edgy, and electronic yet groovy and funky. Like at the time, we was trying to brand it off as like house for boys and techno for girls.
That's perfect. I mean, the thing is, a lot of people get, I mean, I've spoken to other DJs and stuff, and they get hung up on, they don't like to put their music into genres, but I mean, there are some which you just can't, I mean, obviously you don't like to brand things like if in general, but Killer Loop, it really defined the genre for me.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. And, you know, like, it's a shame people won't sort of like put their, like, opinions on what it is that they play and won't say they play one specific genre. I mean, I play everything from 115 BPM deep house to 135 BPM techno and everything in between, but it, to me, it's all tech house.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's all, like, all the slow stuff I'm going to play is going to be electronic and techy and trippy and spaced out, and the fast stuff that I play is going to have grooves and bass lines, and do you know what I mean?
Of course.
For me, it's all tech house. It's all house. It's all house music, but it's all techno music. Where do you draw the line? And, you know, like, people are calling it minimal and whatever. I mean, for me, like, the music that I play now is kind of stripped back, but I wouldn't call it minimal because it has a full set of drums, bass lines, melodies, chords, harmonies, progressions. So it's not really minimal, but it's, I don't know, it's something, like, in the middle of house, techno, minimal, acid. It's like, you know... It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, definitely. So we're also going to play a tune. Where is it here? It's on my playlist. A track that you sent me called Birds and the Bees.
Ah, yeah, beautiful track. It's got a very funny story behind it, actually.
All right.
I was coming out of the end, out of DTPM, which was our Sunday gay night. I was out of my mind. Like, what I hadn't consumed is, like, it'd be an empty blank piece of paper, what I didn't consume.
Yeah.
And I was going to drive to an after hours. There's no way I should have been driving. Oh, I was high. I was drunk. I was in a proper mess. And I walked around the corner and I saw this pigeon, and it was the fattest pigeon I ever saw in my life. I thought, right, it's a rat with wings. It's like, it can't fly. So I took a running kick as if I was like Pele taking a kick at the World Cup. And I swung my leg and missed. It flew away. And the force of my leg threw me into the air. And as I'm landing on the floor, because I'm drunk, I misjudge the floor, land on my wrist, completely crushed three of the eight bones in my wrist, had to have an operation, all pinned up and stuff like that. So my right hand is all in plaster with fingers like Cumberland sausages.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like, a few days later, I'm at home tidying the house, which I shouldn't have been doing. It's a woman's job, right? And there was a pair of jeans on the floor. And I pick them up, put them in the washing basket.
Yeah.
So I want to pick them up, and there's a huge bumblebee on the jeans. So, like, I'm scared of bees and wasps. So I open this, like, you know those little windows that you get that you can push out?
Sure.
I usually get them quite high up. So I pushed the window out and then, like, sort of left it open and dangled the jeans out the window. So now there's a big glass window and... between me and the bee, so now I'm feeling all right. I shake the jeans, and then the phone rings. I look round, and, like, the answer machine is going off. Then I look back, and I can't see the bee. So I slowly turn the jeans around a few times, like, oh, no, it must have flown away. It's definitely gone. I pull the jeans back in, throw them back on the floor. A couple of minutes later, I grab the jeans with my left hand to throw them in the washing bin, and there's the bee. And it stings me, like, so it's this big, fat queen bee. Stung the arse out of my hand, right? So now my left hand starts swelling up like another bunch of Cumberland sausages.
Wait, so it's the opposite hand?
The opposite hand. So now I'm looking at two swollen hands, and I must have been about 34 at the time, right? And I looked at my hands, and I thought to myself, Richard, at your age, you should know about the birds and the bees by now. And that's how the name of the track came about. So then I went into the studio a few days later to make a track. It was like I had to play everything with my left hand because my right hand don't work. So I decided to call the track The Birds and the Bees.
Nice.
And that was it.
Excellent story, man. So, yeah, so, all right. So I'm sure, hopefully, there's some more stories here. We're going to play another track as well called Motion. What can you tell me about that?
Beautiful track. You know, I was really inspired by what was coming out of the West Coast at the time, the early siesta stuff, Halo and Hippie, the tribal thing.
Yeah.
So it's got kind of that tribal groove underneath it, but it's still very electronic. It's got a bit of the e-dancer magic to it, a bit of that Detroit feel to it. It's deep. It's got a nice, deep, fat bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Thick bottom end. It's a lovely track.
It does sound, it has that old school feel to it for sure.
Yeah, it's a beautiful track. One of my favourites. I did that. That was the track I did after Birds and the Bees.
Also with my
left hand. it was a beautiful track. Motion just felt right as a name.
Yeah.
And that went on the flip.
Great. So, and then another one of my favourites, and it'll be the last one we talk about tonight, is the tune you did with Tom Paris called Searching.
Oh, dope track.
Yeah, I mean, I play that so many times. When that breaks down in the middle to that bass line, it is awesome.
Yeah, dope track. That's you know, proper techno.
Yeah.
You know, again, is it tech house? Is it techno? It's full on. It's driving.
Yeah.
It's got fat bass.
Yeah.
Solid rhythms. And yeah, like you say, the breakdown's to die for.
Yeah.
Beautiful track. Tom's great to work with. He's a really nice guy, a lot of fun, a really good producer. And he comes to the table with a lot of good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's nice working with him on that track and others.
What's he up to nowadays?
He's still DJing. He's in Paris doing his thing, DJing all around France, Switzerland and Italy. I haven't seen much in the way of productions from him lately, which is a shame. He's a very talented guy.
Nice. All right, Richard. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for calling in. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And we're going to play a bunch of your tunes coming up in the next half hour. And thanks again, man.
Linus, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Awesome. And I'll speak to you soon. Thanks, Richard.
All right, my friend.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Cheers, bye-bye.
The legendary Mr. C. So we're going to do a few commercials, and then we'll be back to play a bunch of Mr. C's material over the years and some more upfront techno. So stay tuned and keep it locked on CITR 101.9 FM. This is Hypnotic Groove.
CITR 101.9 FM presents Turbo Fruits with special guests Golden Triangle and Tight Solid at the Biltmore Cabaret on July 5th. Doors are at 8 and the show starts at 9:30. Tickets are $11 in advance at Zulu, Red Cat, Scratch. Tickets are available online at theticketweb.ca. Nashville-based Turbo Fruits with special guests Golden Triangle and Tight Solid at the Biltmore Cabaret July 5th. For more information, visit CITR.ca.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to support the Enchanted Evenings Concert Series at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden in Vancouver. The series runs from July 9th to September 3rd every Friday evening. Come and enjoy a diverse array of world music while sampling food selected specifically to complement the music. Of the series' 9 concerts, the first 4 are in July.
On July 9th, the series kicks off with the Birds of Paradox. Combining Western Chinese and Indian music, Delana Gail Bowen with her sultry blues, jazz, and gospel on July 16th, Ocean of Sound with their percussion-based music on July 23rd, and the Vancouver Piano Ensemble on July 30th.
Tickets are $20 and $18 for Garden members. A season's pass is only $135, with a savings of $45.
For tickets and information, call 604-662-3207, extension 210, and visit VancouverChineseGarden.com for a full listing of upcoming concerts. The Enchanted Evenings Concert Series at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden in Vancouver, every Friday from July 9th to September 3rd.
Greek Day in the heart of Kitsilano, Saturday, June 27th. This festival returns once again to celebrate Greek heritage, the Kitsilano community, and its local merchants.
Greek Day. Krino's Foods will host the main stage and other crowd pleasers. And new for this year is a Super Paradise Disco and an Athenian Marketplace Agora.
Greek Day. West Broadway, in the heart of Kitsilano, Saturday, June 27th. To volunteer, or for more information, visit www.greekday.com.
Why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real? Or is there some doubt? Well, tonight, we're going to sort it all out.
Uncover the mysteries of the universe's creation. The Center for Inquiry Vancouver is proud to present a talk by world-renowned astrophysicist Lawrence Krauss.
Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's...
A former physics advisor on Star Trek and author of over 300 scientific papers, he thinks he can explain how our universe came from nothing. Join us July 3rd at 7 p.m. at UBC Woodward Building Room 2. Tickets can be purchased online at www.cficanada.ca/Vancouver.
In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy...
By Northeast is back, taking over Toronto June 14th to June 20th. 7 days and nights, 50 venues, 650 bands. From 25 countries and dozens of genres. These bands have just been announced. Iggy and the Stooges.
I am a passenger.
The Ravenettes. De La Soul.
Potholes in my life.
Mudhoney.
Here comes sickness! Here comes!
Les Avis Fab.
7 seconds, he'd be dead.
Sloan.
It'll place trust.
And hundreds more. Plus 40 of the year's best music-related films. All of this for just $50. Wristbands are on sale in stores and online. Check out www.nxne.com for tickets and full festival info. North by Northeast, when music takes over.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart.
Oh. Rock and roll!
Were you going to have a party here tonight, son?
I mean, whatever happens, your toes are still tapping.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's hottest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
Do you like Biltmore? Yeah, I like Biltmore.
Check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
And if you're a rock star, you're famous, and you rock out.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun, though, isn't it?
Out of sold-out shows in New York and L.A., Vancouver's own 22nd Century return to town at the Cellar on June 17th, featuring rock and roll veterans Dwayne Chaos, Tim Plummer, and Zippy Pinhead. This will be guaranteed to be a fist-pounding great time. Be sure to stay tuned to CITR for free ticket giveaway. 22nd Century, June 17th at the Cellar, 1006 Granville Street. Doors open at 5.
the Sled Island Music and Arts Festival between June 30th and July 3rd, coming to you from Calgary, Alberta. This year's festival promises to be another success with over 200 bands, films, comedy, and art shows. With an independent film festival between June 24th and the 29th, there's sure to be something for everyone.
The music shows will take place at different venues across the city, with the main site located at the Olympic Plaza between July 2nd and 3rd. That's the Sled Island Music and Arts Festival in Calgary, Alberta, between June 30th and July 3rd. Buy your tickets, and for more info, visit www.sledisland.com.
The Calgary Folk Music Festival, a dreamlike balance of urban and bucolic, friendly and far out, super fly and earthy. Pioneering musical godfathers and grandmothers, plus rebels, romantics, and revolutionaries of the current decade. July 22nd to 25th at Prince's Island Park. Let the music take you around the world. The Calgary Folk Music Festival. Visit calgaryfolkfest.com.
My apologies for all the technical difficulties, but we've seemed to have got it up and running. This is Mr. C and Afterglow. This is Hypnotic Groove. We'll be right back. Time is 10 past 12, and we eventually got to some dancing techno. After the interview with Mr. C, we had one of his tunes called Afterglow, followed by Kane Roth and Suspicious Mind. After that was Mr. C and Tom Paris and Searching, followed by MOH and Seven. And last, but not least, obviously, was Killer Loop and The Blue Hour, the classic Mr. C track. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Won't get to anything else this evening, but I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. I certainly have. The last show from Vancouver will be in Tokyo next time you listen to us live. It's been a great pleasure and honour doing the show from here. The next time I speak to you, I'll be in the land of the rising sun. You've been listening to Hypnotic Groove. Check back in here every Thursday from 11 to 12. And you hear some quality minimal techno. This has been Hypnotic Groove on CITR 101.9 FM. And I'm Linus. See you later.
Refugees who'd fled to nearby Uzbekistan have started coming home, and that's prompted fears that there may be another explosion of violence. Our correspondent Richard Galpin now reports from the southern city of Osh.
At a border crossing point not far from the city of Osh, we found hundreds of women and children making the journey back home from the refugee camps inside Uzbekistan. They're all ethnic Uzbeks, the minority community which bore the brunt of the violence. Amongst them, Zukra, who was desperate to see her husband and older sons who'd stayed behind in Osh to protect their house from attacks by Kyrgyz gunmen and mobs.
It's still dangerous, especially for the men. The Kyrgyz are now coming to try to arrest them. They want our men to say they started the violence, but clearly it's the other way around.
Zukra and her friends soon got a lift in a bus to Osh, on the way seeing for the first time some of the destroyed Uzbek neighbourhoods. At last, back home, the emotions flood out. She knows for sure her family survived.
It's very good to be back home and see my husband, but I'm so deeply shocked and afraid. Seeing what has happened to Osh, I don't know how we can continue to live in this city.
Zukra and her family were actually very lucky because while their house is still standing, just a few hundred metres further up the road, and I'm walking through the rubble of what was their neighbourhood, row upon row of houses here burnt to the ground, systematic destruction. And the Uzbeks are saying they're still being targeted. This peaceful but very overgrown field is one of the city's cemeteries, and in front of me are many freshly dug graves, including one which was literally just dug a few hours ago. And it contains the body of an Uzbek man who was stabbed to death, apparently. And with me is his brother, Shavkat Yusupov.
He went out to the market and then he disappeared. We kept looking all night and found his body in a morgue this morning. His throat was cut, his ear cut off. I'm sure they only attacked him because he was an Uzbek.
But the Kyrgyz community say they also suffered casualties and had people forced out of their homes. In total, the United Nations estimates 500,000 people now need help. On Thursday, the UN food program was distributing rations here in Osh, watched over by the deputy director, Amir Abdullah.
Last few days, we have really ramped up a lot here. Over the last 10 days, we've reached over 150,000 people. We're doing an emergency ration today of wheat flour and oil. It's not a lot, but it will get them through the next few days, and one hopes that the shops will be open then.
Although more supplies are now being flown into Osh, officials say distributing food and medicine remains difficult because of the security situation. This region remains extremely volatile, and another flashpoint's coming up this weekend with the government determined to hold a national referendum on a new constitution.
Richard Galpin reporting from southern Kyrgyzstan.
Quarter past seven GMT is the time. Greek police are investigating the murder of a close aide to an important cabinet minister, the man responsible for police and counter-terrorism. The employee was killed yesterday when he opened a parcel bomb which had somehow got past security and into a building that houses the National Intelligence Service. The minister, Mihailis Chrysoidis, said he would bring those responsible to justice.
We say once more that we are not afraid and we are not terrorized. We'll continue our struggle to keep our citizens, neighborhoods and cities safe. The cowardly murderers will be brought to justice, to be tried in accordance with the Constitution and our laws. Personally, I have lost a valuable and beloved friend.
So is anything known about the investigation so far this morning? Pavlos Tsimas is one of Greece's leading broadcasters and columnists.
Nobody knows really what happened. Was it a parcel? Was it a letter? How could it pass through security checks? And how could it reach the heart of Greece's security system? I mean, the office of the Minister for Public Protection, for Civil Protection. These are questions which nobody can answer up to now.
How prominent a figure is this minister?
Oh, he's a prominent figure. He's maybe the highest-rated minister of this government. He is credited with cracking the old generation of terrorist organizations in Greece just before the Olympic Games in 2002 to 2003. He has a reputation of as being terribly effective,